Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone watching with us today. Pray that you're having a blessed feast as we are. And while, like always, it goes fast. The name of the message today is, Do You Have the Spirit of Pharaoh? Do you have the Spirit of Pharaoh? Here we are at Unleavened Bread. And 1 Corinthians 11, 26 through 28 talks about each time you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our master until his coming, so that whoever should eat this bread or drink the cup of the master unworthily, that one will be guilty of the body and the blood of our master. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And we're examining ourselves all year, but particularly at Passover time in unleavened bread, which represents taking the sin out of our life, we have to examine ourselves more. And that's what this message is about. Do you have the spirit of Pharaoh? Because there's some lessons that we learn from Pharaoh of maybe some things that we have in our own life that we need to change. At the time of the Exodus, the Pharaoh was the most powerful man on earth. We know that Egypt was the most powerful country, and the Pharaoh was the most powerful person on earth. And history tells us that this Pharaoh, he came to the throne as a teenager, and he was a very, very strong person. As a matter of fact, there was a bow and arrow that normally took three men to put together, and that this Pharaoh could actually do it by himself. That's how strong he was. So we could see, if you're the most powerful country on earth and you're the most powerful man on earth, you could see that pride and self-righteousness and the thinking of that his worth was worth more than others. So we're going to look at all these things today. We're going to see some different things about Pharaoh, but like I said, maybe some things that each of us can look in our own life to see that maybe some changes have to be made. So in Exodus 7, let's go over there and start reading in Exodus 7. And verse 2, Exodus 7 and verse 2. And Yahweh is speaking to Moses. He said, You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, and he will send away the sons of Israel from his land. So here's Moses, right? Why is Aaron speaking? Because you don't see it if you watch something like the Ten Commandments movie, where Charlton Heston was a very strong voice, and you know, you can hear him, let my people go. But in reality, Moses stuttered. So it probably humbled him to a degree, but it wouldn't be the same him coming to Pharaoh with a stuttering voice. And Aaron was the one, you know, that was the speaker. So he's saying, Aaron will speak to Pharaoh for him. And he will send away the sons of Israel from his land. And I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. And I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh will not listen to you. And I will put my hand on Egypt and will bring my armies, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt with great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I send forth my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst. Okay. So what we see here is we see that is there predestination? Yes, there is predestination as far as the plan of Yahweh. We are predestined to be children of him, his predestined of his kingdom, but our actions are not predestined. Our actions are not predestined. So it wasn't that Pharaoh was like a robot and Yahweh was predestining him, because if it was, then how could he be held accountable for the things he's doing? No, what happened was Yahweh knew Pharaoh's personality. He knew the character traits. And just like an animal, you know, like if you have a cat or a dog and you could see that they do the same things over and over again. And I remember years ago we had this cat that wasn't the smartest in the world, and it was a house cat. And sometimes you'd open up the door and the cat would get out. He'd go underneath the porch and you couldn't get under there. So what would we do? We would wave this little rope, and every time you waved it, he'd come toward the rope, and then you'd grab him. And you would think after the second or the third time of that happening, he'd figure it out, like, I'm not falling for that trick again. But they're instinctive. So we are instinctive, even though we do have free will. And that's the problem. When you have the spirit of Pharaoh, and you have pride, and you have self-righteousness, and you have these character traits that are not conducive to your spiritual life, what happens? You're going to make the same mistakes over and over again. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that. Just like, you know, with the cat, Satan is like that with us. He's putting that little string before us each time because he knows where our weaknesses is, and he knows how to deceive us. So let's look at this. There's actually a scripture in Romans 9 in verse 14 that's pretty interesting on this subject. Romans 9 in verse 14, it says, "What then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? Let it not be. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will pity whomever I will pity. So then it is not within reach of the one willing, nor within reach of him who strives, but it is within the reach of the merciful Elohim. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I raised you up, so that I might display my power in you, and so that my name might be publicized in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he pleases, and he hardens whom he pleases," right? So here's the thing. Like I said, Yahweh didn't force Pharaoh to make the decisions he made, as we're going to see here, but Yahweh certainly knew that this young, strong man that was filled with pride and self-righteousness, Yahweh certainly knew that if he put the string before him, that Pharaoh would do the same thing over and over and over again. Because Pharaoh didn't have a repentant heart, and Pharaoh didn't want to change, and Pharaoh wasn't looking inside of himself to see where change comes from. And it's the same with us. You know that it's very hard all year long to be looking to change, although we should be, but particularly at Passover time, we're commanded. We're commanded to examine ourselves. We're commanded to. And unfortunately, many people, even at Passover time, it's the same ritual. You know, it's the same ritual. You know, they think they're doing Yahweh a favor by taking the little unleavened bread and taking the little sip of the fruit of the vine, and that's enough. And they're never looking. They're never examining themselves. They're not seeing where they need to change. They're not admitting to themselves what their wrongs are. And they're going on, and it's the spirit of Pharaoh, as we're going to see here. So let's go to Exodus 9 now. Exodus 9 and verse 13. And let's start seeing exactly what was Pharaoh's problem. Exodus 9 and verse 13. "And Yahweh said to Moses, get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, send away my people that they may serve me. For at this time I am going to send all the plagues to your heart and on your servants and on your people, so that they may know that none is like me in all the land. For now I have sent forth my hand and have stricken you and your people with pestilence, and you have been destroyed from the earth. For this reason I have made you stand, in order to cause you to see my power and in order to declare my name in all the land. You still are exalting yourself against my people so as not to send them away." Right? So think about this. Because of Pharaoh's pride, Pharaoh could never, ever admit, you know, he could never succumb to slaves, because he's not thinking, like, he doesn't know Yahweh. So he's not thinking, wow, there's this Elohim in heaven that can kill me in a second and I better succumb to him. No, he's looking at these slaves that he looks at as cattle. He looks at as nothing. And to him, it's the most degrading thing in the world that he would have to submit to a slave, right? And that's what happens when you're self-righteous and you're putting your worth above other people. It's the same thing. You can't see where you're wrong. You can't see where you could have made the mistake. You can't see where you need to apologize, because it's the spirit of Pharaoh. It's the spirit of Pharaoh that you're thinking you're above that other person. You're not only, you're seeing yourself as like a superhuman, and the other one's just as mere humans. So you're putting yourself above, and that's exactly what Pharaoh was doing. Pharaoh's pride could never publicly look weak to a bunch of slaves. Exodus 5, Let's go back. So, and how did this cause Pharaoh to treat the slaves, right? How did it cause him to treat them when you do this? Let's read about it. And afterward, Moses and Aaron came in and said to Pharaoh, "So says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, send away my people, and they shall feast to me in the wilderness," right? Like we're doing. And Pharaoh said, "Who is Yahweh that I should listen to his voice to send away Israel? I do not know Yahweh, and I will not send Israel away," right? So it's the same thing when we have that spirit of pride, when we're putting ourselves above another human being, we're doing the same thing. Because Yahweh is made in the image of every single human being. So when we're putting ourselves above any human being, we're being just like the spirit of Pharaoh and saying, "I don't know Yahweh," right? Because we're putting ourselves above, we're breaking the first commandment. And they said, "The Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us go a journey of 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim, lest he fall on us with plague and with sword." And the king of Egypt said to him, "Moses and Aaron, why do you loose the people from their work? You go to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are many now, and you make them cease from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their overseers that day, saying, "You shall not go on giving straw to the people to make bricks as yesterday and the third day. They shall go and pick up straw for themselves. But the fixed number of bricks which they are making yesterday and the third day, you shall still put on them. You shall not diminish it from them, for they are idle, for they are crying, saying, 'Let us go, let us sacrifice to our Elohim.'" So, right? So what's Pharaoh's answer? Is Pharaoh's answer that he's going to submit to Yahweh? Is Pharaoh's answer mercy on this? No. Pharaoh's answer is, okay. His pride comes back and his pride hits him. And it's like, okay, you want to go and do sacrifice to Yahweh? Not only aren't you going to do that, but I'm going to punish you. I'm going to use spite. I'm going to use, and punish you as much as possible here. I'm going to use revenge on you. And I'm going to cause you where you're going to even have to go get your own straw for yourself. And it's the way the world works, right? It's the way we see it in the world today. The weak are overrun by the physically strong. "Let the bondage be heavy on the men, that they may work on it and may not trust in the lying words." And the taskmasters of the people and their overseers went out and spoke to the people, saying, "Pharaoh has said, 'I will not give you straw. You go take straw for yourself from wherever you may find it, for not a thing will be reduced from your work.'" Right? So this puts the people against themselves too, that they're fighting against themselves for every little piece of straw that they could find out there. "You go take straw for yourself from wherever you may find for you, for not a thing will be reduced from your work." And the people scattered in all the land of Egypt to pick up stubble for straw. And the taskmasters were demanding, saying, "Finish your work. The matter of a day in its day is when there was straw." And the overseers of the sons of Israel were beaten, those whom the taskmasters of Pharaoh put over them, saying, "Why have you not finished your appointed task to make bricks as a day ago and the day before, both yesterday and today?" Yeah, just like the world the world today. So even the taskmasters that are over being beaten, so what are they going to do? They're going to beat the slaves. The same as today. You get the higher governments coming down on the mayors, and the mayors coming down on the councilmen coming down on the people. Everybody with fear, as we see now with the COVID situation, forcing the people to do whatever the higher-ups are saying. Okay, "And the overseers of the sons of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, saying, 'Why do you do this way to your slaves? No straw is given to your slaves, and they are saying, "Make bricks." And behold, your slaves are beaten, but your people are at fault." He said, "You are lazy and idle. So you are saying, 'Let us go, let us sacrifice to Yahweh.' Therefore, go now and work. And straw will not be given to you, and a certain number of bricks you shall still deliver." And the overseers and the sons of Israel saw themselves in affliction, saying, "You will not diminish from your bricks the matter of a day in its day." So, while we see this, and I think this story is really important now as we're getting into the mark of the beast and immunity passports and all this other stuff. Because, you know, before things happen, it's very easy to say, "I'll never compromise. No way. I don't care what they do. They could starve me to death and I wouldn't take the mark of the beast." Because how are you going to buy and sell? How are you going to get food for your family? How are you going to work if you don't take the chip? I'll starve to death. And here we are. We're not even at that point yet. We're just at the beginning point. We're at the foundation point where the first thing they're planting in people is the vaccine. You know, but once you have the vaccine, you're certainly going to take the nano tattoo because you've already taken the vaccine. And already people are panicking. Already people, you know, a good majority of Christian people have already taken the vaccine, not even knowing what it's doing to their body or the dangers of it or anything else, but because they don't want to be limited, you know. And it's really interesting in Israel that, you know, they've been closed to tourism the last year. And now, you know, within about a month or so, they're going to open up. But they're only opening up to vaccinated people. So what a slap. It's like with Satan, like I said, just playing with people and getting a big laugh that it's like, okay, you Christians want to come to the Holy Land? We'll take the mark of the beast. Get vaccinated. And it's like, well, we know, though, in the end time. We know what's happening in the end time. We know the beast power does take over the Holy Land, unfortunately. But how sad. How sad. And we see the same thing here. So you can't just be strong against something with your belief system when it's in theory. You have to be strong when it's in reality, right? And here's the reality now. The reality is these people, that it was bad enough before that they were slaves and poor and nothing, but now they don't even have the straw to make their bricks. So what's their answer? Is their answer pleading to Yahweh and saying, wow, Moses is here to deliver us. We're going to trust in Yahweh and we're going to trust in his servant Moses and we're not going to bow. Well, let's see. Is that their answer? And they met Moses and Aaron standing to meet them when they came from Pharaoh. And they said, may Yahweh look on you and judge you. This is what they're saying to Moses and Aaron, who are only following Yahweh's command. May Yahweh look on you and judge you. You have made our odor to stink in Pharaoh's eyes and in the eyes of his servants, to give a sword in their hand to kill us. Right? Did Moses give the sword in their hand or did Yahweh? Right? Who's in charge of here? Who's the one that's in charge? Who's the one sending Moses? Who's allowing these situations to happen, right? Because Yahweh is not only testing Pharaoh. Yahweh is not only testing Moses. Yahweh is testing the people. And the people fail every single time, right? Wow, out of 2 million and more people that left Egypt, only two entered the promised land. How sad. And Moses returned to Yahweh and said, Yahweh, why have you done evil to this people? Why have you sent me? And since I came into Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you did not certainly deliver your people. Okay, so what do we see here, right? We see that, like I said, you know, the point of the story is, yes, the strong rule over the weak, they use spite, they use revenge, they use everything they can. And we're going to see the same thing in the time we're living in now. We're going to see a great martyrism. We already know it from the book of Revelation. And we're going to see tough times. So we have to strengthen ourselves now if we're going to get through it. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you think you'll do, because you have no idea until it happens. Unless you strengthen yourself now, and unless you are convicted, unless you put that line in the sand and you are not going to walk past it. And that's why I say now's the time to come out of the system. If you don't come out now, you will never come out. If you don't come out at this point, after everything that we've seen over the last 5-6 years, and especially now what's going on with immunity passports, forced vaccinations, and all this other stuff, if you don't come out of that system now, you will never come out. And you're kidding yourself. And no matter what comes, you will make yourself believe that it's not against Yahweh, that you're only doing the right thing. And unfortunately, we know in the end time, more people's salvation will be lost than ever before. And Yahweh allows it. Why? Because he's testing us. He allows it as a test, right? And even Moses, because Moses is coming and saying, why did you even send me? Since I came, there's only trouble. But Yahweh's going to show him, right? Now he's going to show him that don't worry about it. You know, in verse 1 of chapter 6, and Yahweh said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For he will send them away with a strong hand. Yea, he will drive them out from his land with a strong hand. Now you'll see, right? Now that I humbled you, now that you get the picture that it's not by your might, Moses, it's by my might, Yahweh. Now that you get that, now I can work in you. And it's the same thing with us. Why couldn't he work in Pharaoh? Pharaoh would never get that. You know, Pharaoh was a strong guy. Pharaoh was a strong leader, right? Pharaoh had a lot of physical characteristics, but Pharaoh could never be used by Yahweh except as a bad example, because Pharaoh's pride and self-righteousness would never allow him to repent or change. So this is the lesson we need to learn here at Passover, that as we're going through trials and as we're going through struggles, it's not to get the spirit of Pharaoh. It's not to get bitter. It's not to get pity. It's to get stronger through these things and to have more trust and more faith in Yahweh. That's the point of it, not to compromise. Because like I said, you start compromising now, there'll be no end to it. One compromise leads to another and leads to another. And unfortunately, I hate to have to say it, maybe it's just a reality of Scripture. From a physical standpoint, no, things are not going to get better for Yahweh's people from this point on to the kingdom. Spiritually, yes. His Spirit will keep being poured out. We'll keep getting stronger. We'll keep getting more faith. And Yahweh will take care of his people, of course. We have our communities, right? We've been working now for the last 5, going on 6 years with this. The last year particularly, we're building up and doing all the things that we need so that we don't have to take immunity passports that we won't need, you know, that Yahweh can care for his people. And this is where we're at, right? But we have to learn the lesson Moses had to learn. It's only by the hand of Yahweh that the deliverance comes. 1 John 4:4-6. 1 John 4:4-6. And as we're living this, now, like I said, it's not something that we're reading in Revelation or these things for the last 2,000 years. It's something in the future. Now that we're living in this, as that generation, we're seeing it all come together. We also can't have a spirit of fear or spirit of doubt, because that's the worst thing. That's what happened here. These people doubted instead of just trusting Yahweh for this. And 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are of Yahweh and have overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than him in the world, right? The spirit of Pharaoh was nothing. Yahweh could have broke his back in a second, right? Yahweh could have stepped on him like a little ant if he wanted to. Why did Yahweh even allow Pharaoh to keep going back and forth? Why did Yahweh allow it? Because he was showing who's the strong one and who's the weak one, and the spirit in us is stronger than the spirit in them. But when the time came, after 10 times, when Yahweh was through, you know, playing with Pharaoh, then what did he do? Then the death of the firstborn, and he took his people out. Yahweh could have did it on the first plague if he wanted to. So the spirit in Pharaoh is not the spirit in Yahweh. It's a different one. They are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Elohim. The one knowing Elohim hears us. Whoever is not of Elohim does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, right? So we don't have to try to convince other people about these things. We don't have to try to convince other people about not taking the biochip. We don't have to convince other people about, you know, all the evil stuff that's in these vaccinations and stuff. Because they're not going to hear. Because you know what? They love the system. They love the world more than the things of Yahweh. And they're not going to change. You know, even a lot of people. And I was watching a panel that they had. And they were asking people. I forget if there were 16 or 20 people on this panel. And you want to know something? Not one person wanted to take the vaccine. But at least 75% said if they would be restricted to work or travel, then they would, you know, just bite their tongue and take it. And the other 25% probably would do it anyway. They just think they won't, you know. So that's the point of it, right? It's easy to say something when you're not being restricted. But in the end time, Satan he's not going to just let people make their decisions. We know it from Revelation. But the people will want it. They want it. Why? Because they love the system. But if you're out of the system, you don't need it. You don't need the mark of the beast. You don't have to buy and sell. You don't need the chip. So this is really the dividing point now, as we're seeing in these stories that we're reading here. Exodus 8 and verse 5. Here's another problem that Pharaoh had. Let's look at this. What a lot of us may need to learn from this one too. Exodus 8 and verse 5. And Yahweh said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and bring up frogs on the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the priests did so with their secret arts, and they brought up the frogs in the land of Egypt too, right? So we're seeing that Yahweh's doing things by his miracles, and yet there's still mysticism, and there's still demonic influence that's there, just as we see in the world. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, pray to Yahweh that he may remove the frogs from me and from my people. And I will send away the people that they may sacrifice to Yahweh. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. For when shall I pray for you and for your servants and your people to cut off the frogs from you and from your house, that they may be left only in the river? And he said, for tomorrow. And he said, according to your word, so that you may know that none is like Yahweh or Elohim. And the frogs will depart from you and from your houses and from your servants and from your people. They will only be in the river. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried to Yahweh concerning the frogs which he had sent on Pharaoh. And Yahweh did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died, from the houses, from the courts, from the fields. And they gathered them in heaps and heaps, and the land stunk. And Pharaoh saw that there was relief, and he made his heart heavy, and he did not listen to them, as Yahweh had said. Wow. So what a lesson here, right? I mean, this is a big lesson that I think we all have to look at. That how many times when we're going through a trial, it can be anything, like I said, it could be a health trial, it could be a loss of a job, it could be money, it could be any trial you're going through. How many times do we pray to Yahweh and make commitments and say, oh Yahweh, if you'll only intervene, if you'll only do this, then I'll do this. And as soon as the trial is over, we go back on our word. How many times? How many times? Please, Yahweh, if you only this time, you know, help me out of this, then I'll study my Bible every day. I'll pray every day. And then as soon as the trial's over, it's like it never happened. How many times? How many times, you know, that we have the spirit of Pharaoh, and at the time we're saying something to Yahweh, and then afterwards we're going back on our word. Let's look again, another situation, Exodus 9 and verse 22. One chapter over, Exodus 9 and verse 22. And Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out your hand to the heaven so that the hail may be on all the land of Egypt, on man, on livestock, on every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his hand, his staff to the heavens. And Yahweh gave sounds and hail. And fire came down to the earth, and Yahweh rained hail on the land of Egypt. And there was hail and fire flashing in the midst of the hail. Wow, that must have been amazing. Very heavy, which never had been in all the land of Egypt since it was a nation. Wow. So you can only imagine the type of hail and the fire coming. And the hail struck in all the land of Egypt, and that was in the field and on men and to livestock. And the hail struck every plant of the field, and it broke in pieces every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel lived, there was no hail, right? So the Israelites, again, Yahweh's people are sanctified. Yahweh's people are set apart from these plagues in the world. And like I said, with COVID, you know, as you're seeing millions of people die around the world, and with the people of Yahweh, not one death so far. And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to him, I have sinned this time. Yahweh is the righteous one, and I and my people the wicked one. It sounds like repentance, right? Yep. Only until the hail goes, though. Only until the plague, only until the trial, right, is gone. And then where is the words? Where is the commitment to Yahweh? Pray to Yahweh, let it be enough of the thunders and of the hail of Elohim, and I will send you away, and you will not continue any longer. And Moses said to him, as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to Yahweh. The thunder will cease and the hail will not be, so that you may know that the earth belongs to Yahweh. And as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear before Yahweh Elohim. So Moses knew what was going to happen. He knew. He knew they didn't have the fear of Yahweh, the first gateway to the kingdom, right? Because without the fear of Yahweh, you're never going to change. You're never going to repent. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't have the fear of Yahweh because they don't really believe he exists. And even believers, I think, at times, you know, or pseudo-believers. Because if you really believed Yahweh existed, you would never doubt. You would never have doubt that he's going to intervene. You would never have doubt if he doesn't intervene. You would know that in the end of the day, our goal is the kingdom of Yahweh. It's not anything in this life. Verse 33, and Moses went out from Pharaoh from the city. He spread out his hands to Yahweh, and the thunder and the hail ceased. And the rain was not poured out toward the earth. And Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, and he continued to sin, right? Put your name in there. And so-and-so saw that the trial was over, and he continued to sin. And he made his heart heavy, he and his servants. And Pharaoh's heart was made strong, and he did not send away the sons of Israel, as Yahweh had said by the hand of Moses. Wow. So, like I said, how often in a trial do we pray for Yahweh for relief, only to go back on our word when it's over? In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4 says, when you vow a vow to Elohim, do not wait to fulfill it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill that which you have vowed. And I say, there's times before, you know, when we would have conferences and whatever, and a new person, you meet them for the first time, never met the person. And he would say, oh, you know, I'm going to sell my car and give the money to the congregation. I'm going to do this. And I'd say, please don't even say it. If you're going to do it. And if you're not, not. But don't say it. Because 90% of the time, even sometimes, even with Bibles, you know, we send out Bibles. We don't charge for the Bible. But we ask for a donation if possible. And there's people that say, you know, I don't have the money right now. You know, but if you could just send the Bible, you know, once I get the money, I definitely will send it later. 90% of the time, they never send a dime. And we send the Bible, you know. But are they kidding Yahweh? You know, you really want a Bible? You want the word of Yahweh that way on a lie, on stealing it? You know? And Yahweh's economy is always giving back. And that's why we ask for the donation. Because if you can donate, then we can make another Bible to give to somebody else. You know, we give out hundreds over the years, you know, in the thousands to prisoners, you know, that can't give back because they don't have any money. And that's fine. Overseas, you know, we have probably 70% of our Bibles that go overseas that not one penny can be taken because they don't have the money. But if somebody can, and this is the point of it, you can't give Yahweh your word and then go back on it. Like he says, he doesn't take pleasure in fools. So you can't be in the midst of a trial and be praying and saying, Yahweh, if you only take me out of this trial, I'll do A, B, C. And then when the trial's over, forget like you ever said it. Because it's a test. Life is a test. And that trial is a test. Every trial is a test. And the only test is to see if you're going to be faithful. And if Yahweh sees that you have the spirit of Pharaoh, that your words mean nothing, and that you only have words of sorrow when you're going through sorrow, and it's not words of repentance, it's words of feeling sorry for yourself. It's words of pitying yourself. That's not repentance. That's only feeling sorry for yourself. That is not repentance. Repentance is feeling sorry for who you are, not even just what you did. Repentance is change. Repentance is turning from the ways and coming back to Yahweh. So, very, very sad. Let's go to Exodus 10 and verse 3. Here's another thing that Pharaoh did. That do we do at times? Exodus 10 and verse 3. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, so says Yahweh Elohim, Eloah of the Hebrews, until when will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Send away my people so that they may serve me. For if you refuse to send away my people, behold, I am going to bring locusts into your territory tomorrow. And they will cover the eye of the land, and no one will be able to see the land, and they will eat the rest of that which escaped, that which is left to you from the hail. And they will eat every tree that sprouts to you from the field. And your houses will be full, and the houses of all your servants, and the houses of the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor the fathers of your fathers have seen, from the day of their being on the earth until this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Wow. I mean, it's bad enough to see some locusts outside. You imagine seeing where you can barely even see that there's so many, and they're in your houses, and they're on everything and eating everything. And Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this one be a snare to us? Send away the men that they may serve Yahweh their Elohim. Do you not yet know that Egypt is perishing, right? He didn't care. Just like people like Robert Mugabe, you know, and these evil leaders today, they don't care what happens to their land. They don't care if millions of people are starving. They could care less. They are so narcissistic and they're so just filled with their own mind that it doesn't matter to them who gets hurt. And are we the same way? Are we doing that? But here's the lesson we want to learn from this. Now let's see what happens. And Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go serve Yahweh your Elohim. Who and who were the ones going? So now Pharaoh is getting scared. He's getting nervous. The people are getting on him. So now he's saying, okay, I'm going to let them go, but there's always a condition, right? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old. With our sons and with our daughters, we will go with our flocks and with our herds, for it is a feast of Yahweh to us. And he said to them, may Yahweh be so with you as I send you away and your little ones. Watch, for evil is before your face. So now he's saying they're going to go, but then listen, not so. You and the men go now and serve Yahweh, for you were seeking it. And he drove them out from the face of Pharaoh. Okay, so what does Pharaoh do? Now he says he's going to let them go. But he's not going to let them go the way they want to go. Why? Because, again, his pride wants to feel like he won. His pride wants to feel like he got his way. But my question is, how many times do we try to bargain with Yahweh, right? instead of just surrendering and submitting to Yahweh and saying, Father, your will be done, because that should be our prayer, not please do A, B, C. It should just be your will be done. How many times do we try to bargain with Yahweh instead of submitting and surrendering to his will? Right? It's not for us to bargain with him. It's not for us to say, Father, if you do this, I will do this. That's bargaining. You know, that's something you do in a fruit market, right? You should not be bargaining with Yahweh. You should be surrendering to Yahweh. So another lesson that we learn, do you have the spirit of Pharaoh where you're trying to bargain with Yahweh instead of surrendering to Yahweh? How often, due to pride, do we do the same mistake as Pharaoh? Denying the word of Yahweh, right? It's the same way. How often do we, due to pride, do the same mistake as Pharaoh? How many people, some of them that even, I don't know if I'd consider them members in our congregation, but they come to meetings, sometimes they've come to feast, and they'll come out and say, oh, I don't believe America's Babylon. You know, but how can you not? There's 100 scriptures that prove it. And you know why they don't believe it? Because they don't want to leave it. Because they love the system more than the things of Yahweh. So they might say America's not Babylon. Some of them say we're not even in the end time, right? People denying the Revelation 12 sign. It's only a coincidence. You know, well, it happens. How often does it happen? Once in 7,000 years, but it's got to happen one time. So it's just a coincidence that that sign in the heaven happened at this time. The implanted chip in the hand is not the mark of the beast. Another coincidence, right? And like I said, even with our bodies being the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, we know that it says that we're not to take anything into our body that would destroy Yahweh's temple, that spiritually and physically. And there's still people, still brethren, that are living on white sugar and things that are really, really bad for their body. So they're not believing. They're denying the word of Yahweh. They're not believing the Ruach. And they're doing the same mistake as Pharaoh. You know? They're saying it in word, but they're not doing it indeed. It's a spirit of unbelief, because that's really what it comes down to. It comes down that if you really believed, you wouldn't do it. It's the same, like I said, if there's a stove there, that electric stove, and I told you, don't touch the top, it's really, really hot, it's on. And if you believed it, you wouldn't go near it and touch it. But if you didn't believe it, you might go up to that and see. You want to see for yourself whether it's hot or not. But if you believed it, you wouldn't. And that's what it comes down to. One of the spirits of Pharaoh was the spirit of unbelief. And the pride, and like I said, his self-righteousness stopped him from seeing this. So let's turn the page now, literally and spiritually, and go to Numbers 22, because I want to give another example of this now with another person in the form of Balak. Balak had the spirit of Pharaoh, and he's another one that we could really learn a good lesson from. Numbers 22 and verse 14. Numbers 22 and verse 14. And the leaders of Moab rose up. Let me just, before, we all know the story, but let me just take a minute and go into it. We know what happened, right? We know that the sons of Israel are coming through the land of Moab, and Balak is the king there, and he's afraid, you know, that that Israel's going to take the land. So what does he do? He hires Balaam, who's a false prophet, and he wants Balaam to curse the sons of Israel. Yet Balaam cannot curse in the name of Yahweh, because Yahweh won't let him. The only thing that he can do is what Yahweh allows to come out of his mouth, right? So he tries to tell this to Balak, but it doesn't make a difference, because all Balak knows is he wants what he wants. So let's get into the story now. Verse 14 of chapter 22 of Numbers. And the leaders of Moab rose up and came to Balak. And they said, Balaam refuses to come with us. So he sent people to Balaam to come. And what happened? Balaam went there and he said, Yahweh won't allow me to come. And he left. So what happens? And Balak sent yet again more leaders and more honorable than they. So does Balak just say, okay, Yahweh's not going to allow it. Yahweh is Elohim. Let's forget it. He says, no. Everybody's got their price. Let's just offer him more, right? And that's the way the world is. That's the way the world believes. Everyone has their price. Do you have your price? Do you have a price on your head that what it would take for you to compromise with the word of Yahweh or even sin in the against the word of Yahweh? So he sends more honorable men to them. And they came to Balaam and said to him, so says Balak the son of Zippor, please do not be hindered from coming to me. For I will honor you with very much riches, and all that you say to me I will do. And please come and curse this people for me, right? So I look at this today almost like with the COVID, right? That you have many, many doctors out there that know a lot of things are wrong. You know, they know that certain things that they're telling you to take and do are not good. They know that there are certain, I don't know if I call them cures, but at least preventives for COVID that they're not allowing you to take. And there are doctors that have risked themselves. Some of them have lost their licenses. You know, Frontline Doctors is one of the organizations. But many doctors, many, many thousands of doctors are just basically staying quiet. They won't come out publicly and say anything against it. Why? Because they're afraid of losing. They're afraid of losing their license. They're afraid of losing their practice. They're afraid of what the beast power is going to do with them to return. And this is what you have here with the spirit of Balaam. Balak is coming out and saying, okay, you got two choices, Balaam. You can come with me and I'll give you great riches and I'll allow you to do all these things and you're going to have a great name. And if you don't listen to me and do it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be cursed. You're not going to get nothing. You're going to, you know, the same is what's happening as we see today. But what is, and Balaam answers and says to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give to me his house full of gold and silver, I could not go beyond the mouth of Yahweh my Elohim to do anything small or great. So Balaam, he's not showing character here that he won't do it. He's saying he can't do it because Yahweh will not allow those words to come out of his mouth. He's just plainly stating a fact. You know, that if you want me to bless or curse in the name of Yahweh, it's Yahweh's words that are coming out, not my own. And it won't happen. Because if I try to say the wrong words, nothing will come out of my mouth. So does Balak take that? Does he listen? No. Because that's what happens. When we put our self-worth above others, when we are filled with pride, we're never going to take a no. We're never going to take a no. What we're going to do is we're going to keep continuing to do it our way and see if there's another way around it. So let's continue in the story here. Chapter 23 and verse 5. Chapter 23 and verse 5. And Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and you shall say this. And he returned, and lo, he was standing at the burnt offering, he and all the leaders of Moab. And he took this parable and said, he has led me from Aram, Balak king of Moab, from the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse Jacob for me, and come, rage for Israel. How can I curse him who El has not cursed? And how shall I rage at him who El has not raged? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and I behold him from the heights. Behold, it is a people that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count Jacob's dust and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said to, so here it is, he's cursing, he's blessing Israel because that's what Yahweh is doing. Yahweh is bringing the blessing on Israel, and Balaam can't curse him. So he asked them, they said, well, come to another spot. Maybe you'll allow it here. He's not getting the point. So look what he says. And Balak says to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and lo, you have surely blessed. And he replied and said, must not I take heed to speak what Yahweh has put in my mouth? And Balak said to him, now come with me to another place where you will see it. Only you will see its edge and shall not see all of it, and curse me from there. Wow. So this is also the spirit of Pharaoh that Balak is showing, that sometimes we just won't accept. We won't accept the plain word of Yahweh, and we think by doing it in another place or doing it in another circumstance, the thing that was wrong to begin with, that somehow it's going to be okay now, right? And some will do this denying the reality of the circumstances that they created, right? So that's what happens, right? That somebody takes a job, say, that is not conducive to your spiritual life. They're working in a bar somewhere. And then as things are happening bad, they're not realizing it's happening bad because you shouldn't have been there in the first place. And they're thinking, well, let me go to another place. I'll go to a second bar. Maybe it'll be better here. I'll go to a third bar. Maybe it'll be better there. Or you know what? I'll get a job at a cigarette factory. You know, and then Yahweh will really bless me. Bless me now, Yahweh. So they're making the same mistake over and over and over. And instead of repenting of the mistake and seeing that what they're doing is outside the will of Yahweh, they're thinking that it's they're not seeing that they're not being blessed because they're not in the will of Yahweh. And this is the same. This is the spirit of Pharaoh, and this is certainly the spirit of Balak. And he was so blinded, and even when it was plainly told to him, this is not the will of Yahweh, he just thought, well, maybe let's do it from another place. If something is not the will of Yahweh, it's not the will of Yahweh. It's that simple, you know? You don't know how many people over the years have written me trying to say that in the end time, there'll be a remnant left in Babylon. And unfortunately, the Bible says there won't be. That there's a time where everyone will either have to be out of Babylon or will have died, but there won't be any remnant left in Babylon. And instead of just accepting that, and even if you can't leave at the moment and say, okay, well, I got to trust in Yahweh for when he opens up the door for me, there's people that are still thinking there that no, that they don't need a door. That, you know, Yahweh is going to have a remnant there, which we know he's not. Numbers 23, go to verse 16. We see the same thing. And Yahweh met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, return to Balak and say this. And he came to him, and lo, he stood by the burnt offering, and Moab's chiefs were with him. And he spoke to him, what has Yahweh spoken? And he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, give ear to me, son of Zippor. El is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make good? Right? Yahweh said seven times, flee Babylon. He's not going to change that. That's not going to change no matter what. You know, your circumstances may change, but that's not going to change. Yahweh can't bless something that he hasn't blessed. And Yahweh can't curse something that he hasn't cursed. Behold, I have received word to bless, yea, he has blessed. I cannot reverse it. He has seen no iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen mischief in Israel. Yahweh, his Elohim, is with him, and the shout of the king is with him. El, who brought them out of Egypt, is for him like the lofty horns of the wild ox. For there is not a spell against Jacob, nor any fortune-telling against Israel. Now it is said of Jacob and Israel, see what El has done. Behold, the people shall rise like a lioness, like a lion he will lift himself up. He shall not lie down until he eats the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. And Balak said to Balaam, do not curse it at all, do not bless it at all. Now he's seeing he's not going to get his way, and he's trying to neutralize it. And it's like, no, that's not the way it works. If Yahweh blesses something, he blesses it. If Yahweh's cursed something, he's cursed it. And you're not going to reverse either side of that. So instead of fighting against it, right, and being out of the will of Yahweh, and then when the circumstances happen that are bad, we try to make excuses for them, why not just be in the will of Yahweh? Why not just follow the blessing of Yahweh instead of following the curse? That's the easiest thing to do. And Balak answered and said, did I not speak to you, saying all that Yahweh speaks I will do, right? It's in his word. Yahweh's word, like it says, he doesn't change. El is not a man that he should lie, or he's a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and shall not he do it? That's why we have the word of Yahweh. We have the word of Yahweh because he tells us beforehand what he is blessing and what he is cursing. And that's why we need the Torah. Because the Torah is a lamp to my feet. The Torah tells me how to live. It tells me how to child rear. It tells me how to work, how to treat my neighbor, how to worship Elohim. Right? We don't worship Elohim through paganism. We worship Elohim through the way he told us to worship him. The rituals he gives us, like de-leavening during unleavened bread. These are the rituals we're doing. Not coloring Easter eggs. You know, that's from paganism. So this is the key. And it's so important. All we have to do is surrender to the will of Yahweh and everything goes good. And if it's not going good in your life and you're not being blessed, you have to look and see, do you have the spirit of Pharaoh? Do you have the spirit of Balak? Do you have the spirit that instead of seeing that something has gone off course, let me get back on track, you're trying to pull it in the wrong direction, as Balak did, right? And then what does he say to Balaam? Does he see it? No, he says, come please, I will take you to another place. It may be that it will be right in the eyes of Elohim to curse it for me there. So he's still not getting it, you know? And how many times in our life do we go through this over and over and over and we're still not getting it? And I say it's really interesting because as human beings, we're blinded to our own sins, but we're not blinded to others. We can see where others need to change, we just don't see it in ourselves. And that's why we need each other. That's why we help each other. That's why we share with each other. You know, that's why it says confess your sins one to another, because we can help each other because we can see it in each other. It's just hard to see in ourselves. But this is something that is so important for brethren because a lot of brethren make this mistake. They're outside the will of Yahweh and they're making the same mistakes, and they're just like Balaam wondering, well, maybe it'll be better here. Maybe it'll be better under these circumstances. Like, no, it wouldn't be better under any circumstances, because Yahweh can only bless what he said he'll bless, and he can only curse what he said he'd curse. And sometimes, like I said, we blind ourselves because we're not getting our own way. So, do we have the Spirit? Do we have the Spirit? Numbers 24 and verse 10. And Balak's anger glowed against Balaam, and he struck his hands together, and Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have altogether blessed them these three times. And now flee to your place. I said to honor you with great riches, but behold, Yahweh has kept you back from honor. And Balaam said to Balak, did I not speak to your messengers that you sent to me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the mouth of Yahweh to do good or bad of my own heart. What Yahweh speaks, that I speak. And this is the world we live in today, right? That you see it. You see it with government. You know, you see it with political people. You see it with Facebook, right? You see it with all the social media. As long as you put things out that they want you to, as long as you're going with the party line, you're fine. But say that abortion is murder, you know. Come out and speak the truth. Say that there's creation instead of evolution. And what happens? You're censored. You're cut off. You're mocked. You're criticized. You're falsely accused. That's the world we live in today. You know, the spirit of Pharaoh, the spirit of Balak. And as we're getting this close to the end, are we going to stand for truth? Are we going to compromise? Right? Are we going to let the pressure of the world come against us? Or are we going to say, no, I am standing up straight. Yahweh doesn't change. And you know what? I don't change. I'm going to follow his word. I'm going to follow his commandments. You know, for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And whatever the consequences are, that's what we're going to suffer. But that's what we need to do. Because like I said before, the spirit in us is greater than the spirit of the world. We can't let the spirit of Satan and the spirit of Pharaoh and the spirit of Balak, as these times goes on, we can't let these things affect us. We have to stand strong in faith, knowing that it's Yahweh that's in charge. And the same way that Yahweh would not allow Balaam to curse Israel when he was blessing Israel, Yahweh will not allow this global government and all these other things to affect us if it's not his will. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. And going forward a little, Yeshua, he fell on his face praying, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Not as I will, as you will. That's our prayer that should be in these days we're going. Not our will, but his will. And as long as you are in his will, there's nothing that can come against you. You know? But that's the key. We want to be inside of his will. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And sometimes we fall into this trap of Pharaoh or Balak because we're not seeking the kingdom first, right? We're Sabbath believers or we're, you know, holy day believers, but it's not in our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. It's not every day. It's not as soon as we're waking up, we have our Bible in our hand. It's not that we're praying all day. It's not that we're praying without ceasing. It's that we have all worldly cares and we're not seeking the kingdom first. And that's what's got to be. We have to be seeking first the kingdom and all these other things will take care of themselves, right? Like it says in Matthew 6. Yahweh knows. Look at the lilies of the field today. They're here. Tomorrow they go into the fire. Are you worth more than that? You know? Look at the birds of the heaven. Not one falls without the Father knowing. Are you worth more than that? So Yahweh knows what we need. And he will provide if you pass the test. And that's it. It's a test. And the test is, will we be faithful? Are we seeking first the kingdom? What is your ministry? You know, how much fruit are you bearing and what is your ministry? And if you can't answer that in a second, you got a problem. Because your ministry should be the most important thing in your life because that's your service to Yahweh. And that's what, for eternity, what you're going to be blessed with. And if you don't even know what it is, you know, if you have no testimony to your ministry, wow, then you really have to start reevaluating your life. Because that's what it comes, that's what it's about. So let's go back to Exodus 10. in verse 24. Let's go back to Exodus 10 and verse 24. Because now we're going to see that, you know what? The spirit of Pharaoh is really dangerous. Because if you have the spirit of Pharaoh and you don't change, if you don't catch it and you don't change, it'll get to the point that you get to the point of no return. And this is what happened in Pharaoh. That pride, that self-righteousness, that self-worth that you're putting there that isn't real will become so overwhelming in you, and your mind will become so deceitful to itself that you'll hit the point of no return. Let's see this. Exodus 10 and verse 24. Exodus 10 and verse 24. And Pharaoh called Moses and said, "Go, serve Yahweh. Only leave your flocks and your herd behind. Your little ones may go with you." So, right? He keeps compromising and he keeps losing. So every time now he'll compromise a little more, but there's always something he wants to hold back because his pride wants to feel like he won. And it ain't going to work that way, right? So now he's saying, now he's letting the little ones go, but he's not letting the flocks. And Moses said, "You must also give into our hands sacrifices and burnt offerings so that we may prepare for Yahweh our Elohim. And also our livestock shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left. For we shall take from them to serve Yahweh our Elohim. And we do not know with what we shall serve Yahweh until we come there." And Yahweh made strong the heart of Pharaoh, and he was not willing to send them away, right? This is where his pride came, and this is the point of no return. And Pharaoh said to him, to Moses, "Go away from me. Be careful for yourself. Do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die." And Moses said, "You have spoken rightly. I will not see your face again." He didn't. The night of the death of the firstborn, they sent a proclamation to Moses and told him to leave, but that was it. That was the point of no return. This was the point that Pharaoh didn't deal with his problem. He didn't deal with his self-righteousness. He didn't deal with his pride. He didn't humble himself before Yahweh. And there is a point of no return that comes from there. And the danger of having the spirit of Pharaoh is that there's a point that your pride will make you so bitter that you didn't get your way that you will even turn on Yahweh. First you'll turn on people, and then you'll turn on Yahweh. And you'll commit the unpardonable sin. You know, unrepentant sin of knowing the truth and still going the other way in unrepentant sin. Yahweh's mercy stops the person and causes them to repent. You know, but you have to do it. We have free will, right? Pharaoh had free will, but his pride wouldn't let him do it. Job 34 and verse 21. Job 34. Let's go to the book of Job now. I'm going to be reading a few scriptures from there because Job's circumstance in the beginning is similar to Pharaoh to a degree. But then Job, there's a big difference. That Job caught himself. That Job changed. That Job repented. And Job turned back. But not in the beginning. Job 34 and verse 21. He says, "For his eyes are on the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps." Talking about Yahweh. His eyes are on the ways of a man. He sees all his steps. So there's nothing that Yahweh doesn't see. There's nothing that he's not watching. Any trial, any trouble, any affliction, whatever happening, he's watching and he's giving you opportunity. He's giving you opportunity to pass the test and to glorify him through the trial. Go down to verse 30. "From the reigning of the unrighteous men, from being snares for the people, for has any said to El, I have taken away, I will not pervert," right? So all men are evil. "Beside what I see, you teach me. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. Must he repay you because you rejected it? For you must choose and not I. Therefore, speak what you know. Men of heart will say to me, and a wise man who hears will say, Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words are not with insight. Would that Job may be tried to the end, because his answers are like men of iniquity. For he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against El." Wow. So here we are. We're in chapter 34 of Job. Up to this point, right? Up to this point, Job was only self-righteous. First he was saying, you know, being self-righteous that, oh, well, you know, Yahweh gives and Yahweh takes away. But as the problem still got there, then he starts saying, "I did nothing wrong. Going through troubles, you know, as like a burnt offering, so to speak." But as time went on, then he started blaming Yahweh. "Oh, Yahweh, take my life. Why are you torturing me this way? This great servant have done nothing. You're treating me this way." And what does Yahweh say? He says, when we're self-righteous and we're not taking responsibility for our sin, we're just like sinners, like he said here. Would that Job may be tried to the end, because his answers are like men of iniquity. His answer is, when you're self-righteous, when you have the spirit of Pharaoh, and you're being self-righteous and justifying yourself before Yahweh, and you're a stick in his eyes, he says, you're just like men of iniquity. You're just like men of sin. You're no different than them. And that's the way Job was up to this point. He was self-righteous, not taking responsibility for his own sin, his own self-righteousness, and then we're no different than any other sinner. Job 35 and verse 12, next chapter, Job 35 and verse 12, says, there they cry, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evildoers. Surely El will not hear vanity, nor will the Almighty look upon it. How much less when you say you do not regard him? Judgment is before him, and you are waiting for him. And now, because he has not visited his anger, and he does not recognize great stupidity. So Job vainly opens his mouth. He multiplies words without knowledge, right? Who are we to sit here and say, woe is us. Oh, the trial I'm going through. Oh, how bad this is. When Yahweh has given us eternal life. When Yahweh has given us forgiveness. Blessed is the man who there is no iniquity in him. Especially at Passover time. At Passover time, we should be the happiest person on earth. You know why? Because we're the most blessed people on earth. We're the most blessed. Blessed is the man that has no iniquity, that Yahweh doesn't count his sin against him. Because every man is a sinner. But Yahweh is not counting sin against every man. And blessed is the man that has the blood of Yeshua counted against his iniquity, and his sins are paid for. And Job didn't see that at first, but we're going to see he does see it later. He didn't see it at first. So just because Yahweh is merciful and patient with us, don't think you're not going to reap what you sow. So yes, Yahweh has all the time in the world. Yahweh is merciful. He's patient. He lets us make mistakes. He waits for us to repent. He doesn't zap us right away. But you know what? You're still going to reap what you sow. You're still going to reap what you sow, right? If you're doing illegal drugs, Yahweh can have mercy. And Yahweh can give you time to repent. But it doesn't mean it's not going to destroy your body and maybe not even kill you. It doesn't mean that, you know, when you're eating all bad food and you're eating all the wrong things that you shouldn't be putting in your body, you know, Yahweh can have mercy and Yahweh can be patient with you. But it doesn't mean you're not going to get sick, right? So that's the point. We are going to reap what we sow, even though Yahweh is all merciful and all patient. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. And then, like I said, with the spirit of Pharaoh, there is a point of no return. No. There's a point where you keep doing the wrong things and you're not repenting and more bad things are happening. And then in the end, you just get bitter and turn away. But the sad part is, once you get to that point, there's no turning back. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. For it is possible for those who have once descended to immersion, those being baptized, and have tasted of the heavenly gift and become sharers of the Holy Spirit through Ruach HaKodesh, and tasting the good word of Yahweh and the works of power of the world to come, and having fallen away, it is impossible for them to again to renew to repentance. For they crucify the Son of Yahweh a second time and put him to open shame. For the earth that drinks in the rain, which comes often upon it and produces herbs that are useful for those for whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from Elohim. But it should not bear thorns and thistles. It is rejected and near a curse, and in the end it will be burned. Wow. So that's interesting. He's even using the herbs, where we get the essential oils and all that from, as the point of the blessing. But the weeds aren't a blessing. They're not the point of blessing, you know. They're the ones that are rejected, the thorns and thistles, and in the end it will be burned. He's talking about going into the lake of fire, right? So at this point, the person has become a total reprobate when they hit this point. And given themselves over to their pride, and they've quenched the Ruach HaKodesh to the point of no return. They won't repent because they think they did nothing wrong. They can't see the self-righteousness in their lives. They only see what everybody else, you know, and blaming everybody else, including Yahweh. Including Yahweh. 2 Peter 2:19. He says, while promising to them freedom, though themselves being slaves of corruption, for a man is overcome by whatever it is that enslaves him. Just like with Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't work on his pride. He didn't work on his self-righteousness. And eventually it overcame him. The pride and the self-righteousness got to the point that he wouldn't even listen anymore. And he told Moses, you come again, you're going to die. And that's the same with us. For a man is overcome by whatever it is that enslaves him. And that's why we have to repent. That's why we have to change. Because if you don't overcome it, it will overcome you. A person is overcome whatever it is that enslaves him. And this is why we need to truly examine ourselves at Passover. This is what it's about. It's about looking deep in our heart and looking deep in our lives and seeing where we need to change. And it's a blessing that Yahweh commands us to do this each year in such a thorough way. And as we're getting closer to the kingdom, and Yahweh is giving us more of His Spirit, and our minds are being more opened by His Spirit, man, we need to be doing this deeper and deeper. We need to, like I said, be praying to Yahweh and even ask Him, show me, Father, the sins that I don't even know I'm doing. Show me where I need to change. And we need to understand through our trials, Yahweh owes us nothing. Yahweh does not owe us anything. Isaiah 40 and verse 13. Isaiah 40 and verse 13. Who has meted out the spirit of Yahweh, or a man has counsel taught him? Which man counseled Yahweh when he was putting the earth? Which man told him, oh, Yahweh, put this here. Put the moon in this spot. Put the sun in that spot. With whom did he take counsel? And who trained him and taught him in the path of justice? And who taught him knowledge and made known to him the way of discernment? Lo, nations are as a drop in the bucket and are reckoned as dust of the scales. Lo, he takes up coasts as a small thing. All the nations put together are nothing but a drop in the bucket to Yahweh. He is almighty. He is eternal. He is omnipotent and omnipresent in everything you can imagine. He is just there from the beginning. No beginning, no end. And all merciful, all kind, all good. And who are we that we're thinking He owes us anything? Verse 22. He who sits on the circle of the earth, even those living on it are like grasshoppers. He who stretches the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. Who brings princes into nothing? He makes judges of the earth as nothing, right? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the earth, is eating grass like an animal. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they are not sown. Yea, their stem is not taking root in the earth. He shall also blow on them and they shall wither. And the whirlwind will lift them up like stubble and take them away. To whom then will you compare me? Or am I equal? Says the Holy One. Let's get things real. We've got to keep things in perspective. And this is why the fear of Yahweh is the first gateway to the kingdom. Because without the fear of Yahweh, without putting Yahweh here and you here, there's nowhere else to go but pride and self-righteousness, pity, feeling sorry for yourself, playing the victim. That's all the stuff that's going to come. But when you honestly have the fear of Yahweh, and understand, He's way up here and we're lower than the bottom. You know, we're lower than the curb. Then what it does is it humbles you. It humbles you because, like I said, pride is only a self-false worth. And you can't have that when you're putting Yahweh where He belongs. Yahweh is creator of all. He owes us nothing. But He has given us everything. He owes us nothing, but He's given us everything. And this Passover is about this. That, like I said, we were dead men walking. We were in that cell, 5 minutes to midnight. We're going to go out there and we're going to be executed because of the sins we did. And we can't have any defense because our defense is we're guilty. And what happened 5 minutes to midnight, the judge comes, it's Yahweh, and He not only gives us a reprieve, Yeshua comes and pays the penalty on our behalf. What an amazing feat that He did for us. And suffered and was humiliated and went through all these things so he would know how we are as a human being. And now we have to internalize that. We have to internalize that. We have to repent. We have to change. We have to love our neighbor as ourself. And we have to really see where we need to change. And this is what Passover is all about. Romans 3:23, right? Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. Except for Yeshua, Messiah, there's not a person on this earth who hasn't sinned. There's not a person on this earth who doesn't have a death penalty. And you have to internalize that. It has to become real to you. Because the lake of fire is a real thing. And the fact that Yahweh, we are accounted worthy, who is the blessed person, the one that Yahweh sees no iniquity. The one that Yahweh has given forgiveness, that's the blessed person. And that's got to be our focus. Not in this world. We can't have the spirit of Pharaoh, you know. We have to have the spirit of humility. Let's go to Job 42. Last scripture here. Job 42. Because like I said, the difference with Job and Pharaoh was that in the end, Job's sword. Pharaoh didn't. Pharaoh got more bitter. Pharaoh would not allow his pride to die. He would not repent, but Job did. And let's see what happened in the end. And Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that you can do all, and no purpose is withheld from you. Who is this hiding counsel without knowledge? So I declared, but did not understand things too wonderful for me. Yea, I did not know. I pray, listen, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you will make me know. I have heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Wow, isn't it awesome? That as the children of Yahweh, you get on your hands and knees, you close your eyes, and you pray, and you're up in heaven, and you see Yahweh face to face. We could see him face to face, and he puts his hand on us, and he says, don't worry, things are going to be okay. He's right there for us. I have heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I despise myself, and I've repented on dust and ashes. Right? So what does it do? Does it puff ourselves up when we realize this? Does it puff ourselves up when we realize that Yahweh has given us such mercy and kindness and forgiveness? No, it doesn't puff ourselves up. We despise ourselves because we see in the flesh that man in the flesh, we're nothing. That everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of Yahweh. And we despise ourselves and we repent though. We turn from, we change, we hate of what we are. And we change every day. We try to become more like him. That's what it's all about. We need the spirit of Job, not the spirit of Pharaoh. We need the spirit of Job, not the spirit of Pharaoh. Job finally saw his self-righteous pride before Yahweh. He had to humble himself in his own eyes before he could repent. Pharaoh and Balak couldn't do this. Passover is a time of self-examination. That's what it's all about, right? This is the Sabbath wheel. Got 3 days left here. Let's take this time. Let's really, really, really take the time. Be in prayer. Be looking in your life, seeing where you need to change. Don't leave any stone unturned. Passover is a time of self-examination. We need to be looking deep inside ourselves and praying to Yahweh to show us our sins. And like I said, even the sins we don't know we're committing. Sin like pride and self-righteousness are in all people to some degree. But it's not always evident as they are roots of certain sinful actions, but not always the action itself. Okay? That's very important to understand. That sin and self-righteousness and pride are in all the people to some degree, but it's not always evident. It's not always evident. It's not always so simple. We don't always see it because they could be roots of sinful action, but it's not always the action itself that's coming from it. We need to live in a constant state of appreciation for the loving sacrifice and grace that Yahweh gives us in our life through the sinless life, death, and resurrection of Yeshua Messiah. This is what Passover is all about, getting a greater understanding of Yeshua's sacrifice every year and internalizing it in our life. I don't know about you, but I know each year that's going on, I feel that I'm getting a deeper understanding of Yeshua's sacrifice and a deeper understanding of my relationship with both of them. When we have the spirit of Pharaoh, it blinds us to the grace of Yahweh as it is filled with pride and self-justification. That's got to go. You will never truly repent if you're justifying your sins as Pharaoh did. So I pray that this is a blessing. Listen to it again, maybe even a third time, as it really, really will help. And tomorrow is the Feast of First Fruit. The Feast of First Fruit, Resurrection Day. Praise Yahweh for that. So until the Holy Day on Monday, Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.